Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harker coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you as I welcome you to the month of April. I got to tell you, April's going to be a long month, folks. We realize we're going through one of the toughest times we've went through that we can have in our memory, and we're just trusting the Lord to get us through. This is a Palm Sunday weekend, and I'm glad you joined me this morning. Some of you joined me, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. Others of you joined me, by the way, of WION I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Over in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome you. Others have joined me by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville stations by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. That's at 10 o'clock. Some of you listening and tuned me in by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Bring your mouse up over Lighthouse. Messages from the Lighthouse and the word media will show up. Current media. Click on that and it takes you to the broadcast for today. Along with a lot of other broadcasts on there. There's even a thing called past broadcasts. And those there's even a bunch of messages on there. So what a way you tuned me in. I'm just glad to have you being a part of our time today. And you know, folks, I've just been thinking just these last couple weeks how powerful it is, methods that we have of communicating with one another. Makes it very special, even though we are homebound and not supposed to be out very much. Yet at the same time, two of our granddaughters have FaceTimed us, and that's very special. You get to see them, get to spend some time with them, and get to share some things with each other, and that makes it very special. Then the church services all been on, you know, websites as well, and on Facebook and that kind of thing, and that's something that is also very special. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the broadcast time together. I need to thank Shiloh Community Church. I bet it's always very special to me. I pastored there for 50 years and still attend there, so I thank them for their support. To Bill and Judy Hammond from Belding, to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and to Gloria Spencer from the Orleans area in honor and memory of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and that's pretty special. Whatever way you've had to help us with the broadcast, we really appreciate that. There's no reason for me to give you an invitation to attend either Shiloh Church campus in Shiloh or Shiloh Church campus in Greenville, as we have no services, but we do have on the internet at 10 o'clock at Shiloh will be a message from our pastor, our intern pastor, Jim Lacey. And then in Greenville at 11 o'clock, there will be a message from Pastor Paul from Greenville. Whatever way you joined us, we're just glad to have you being a part. And K.N. Kingsinger, thank you once again for picking out my music. I appreciate that you've done that all these years. And we just need to be thinking about God's blessing upon us. What I want to talk about this morning is Palm Sunday. It's a place along the way as Jesus traveled to Jerusalem. But I want us to think about the need to give God some praise in our life. I know we're going through a tough time, but I also know from my experience that when you find some things to be thankful and praise God for it, it helps you a whole lot more. So we'll look at that in just a few minutes. But before we do, we got a song we want us to listen to. And it's just a shout to the Lord. You know, that's what they did on Palm Sunday as Jesus rode the donkey into the city of Jerusalem. They shouted out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Well, this song is giving us that idea that you and I need to shout out to God as well our blessings and our thankfulness to Him for what He has done. So this song is to get us prepared for a little Hosanna. Hosanna, God bless you. I love that. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. We have so many promises that God has given us. And you know, we expect Him just to jump to our aid, so to speak. But we realize that God has His timing as well. And sometimes, as we've gone through difficult times, all of you know this if you've lived any number of years, that sometimes it is the difficult times that causes us to grow the most. So we're going to think about Palm Sunday this morning, and I welcome you to Palm Sunday. You know, I think it's so special to understand that that's something that is given to us to be an encouragement to us. I may say this a couple times before the day is over, before I get through sharing the service, I should say. But you know what? When I pastored Shiloh Community Church for those 50 years, one of my two favorite times that I loved to preach was Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. A time of praise and a time of thanksgiving coming from the people to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, He was headed into one of the heaviest weeks of His life. So we'll address that in just a few moments. But before I do, let me have a word of prayer. I want to pray for you, the listening audience. I want to pray for our situation that we find ourselves in, and that God would just bless and undertake. Dear Father, once again we come to You. Father, I pray that all over America, or even all over this world, more and more people have been coming to You. Even those that wasn't used to praying, are bowing before you and asking for your comfort, your strength, maybe claiming promises that they've known in days gone by, maybe promises that's been shared by them by the way that we have to do it today through the internet, through Facebook and those kinds of things. Promises that you are a good God and you are a great and a mighty God. I have no doubt, our Father, that you could just button this all up in a matter of short time if you wanted to. But Father, we don't realize and we don't understand yet at this point in time why this has become a part of our life. We know that you tell us that things are going to get worse and worse as we go on, and we see it on every facet of life. But this morning, Father, we're going to focus our attention not upon the problem we're facing, but we're going to focus our attention upon you. And we're going to watch your son this morning ride into the city of Jerusalem and learn some lessons that's going to help us in our everyday life, going to help us in what we're faced with today. So would you come and honor your word? Would you bless all of the listening audience? Be a word of encouragement to them today? Would you bless anybody that's tuned us in? That, Father, you would just be pleased to bless not only us that's listening at this time or speaking at this time, but for our families, for our children and our grandchildren, for those that have moms and dads, those that have brothers and sisters. Dear Father, we're asking for your hand of blessing today. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this message today, places along the way, is the city of Jerusalem. As I mentioned, I've always loved the idea of not only preaching these messages about the idea of Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, but you know, there's so many prophecies that was given in the Old Testament that we see being fulfilled by the Lord Jesus himself. And you know, I love it that the Bible teaches us that everything that was written in that Old Testament was written for our learning and for the comfort of the scripture. So you know what? We can look back and see these things that are happening at that time. And you know, we see the prophecy fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus. And we can do what I talked about a few weeks ago. What God has done before, he can do again. Listen to this prophecy. The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Speaking about Jesus when he comes, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those that are in captivity, and opening the prison doors to those who are bound. That ought to help us, the prison doors to those who are bound. He wants to help us to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and also the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning they're going through, the garment of praise for the spirit of his heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of God. And the bottom line is this: he may be glorified. That's what we want. We want God's glory to come out of this in our own individual life and collectively in our nation and even in our world. It's kind of like we're having a wake-up call, folks. I love it that the day Jesus spoke in his hometown, first time he ever spoke, that's where he was growing up as a kid. Now he's back there in his hometown. They asked him that he might read, and they gave him the scroll of the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling the scroll, that's what they did in those days, is unroll the scroll. He found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free from, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant. He stood up to read, and he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. And Jesus began to say, now listen to what he said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He come to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. And Jesus did that. You know, when we think about these kinds of things, we need to realize that God is so special to each one of us, and that he has plans for our individual life. And when Jesus was going to come into this world, he had a purpose. He come to do the work of God. And he knew what that purpose was, that one day he was going to have to become the sacrificial lamb of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ would become the sacrificial lamb of the New Testament. And he'd be sacrificed to satisfy the holiness of God, that anybody would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, God the Father would forgive. You know, I shared a video this past week, and I really liked the idea of this kind of pointing one to one verse, and it says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be the righteousness and the planting of the Lord. That's what I want us to think about as we go through this beautiful time in the life of the Lord Jesus as he enters into the city of Jerusalem. But before I do talk about that, I need to share with you a little bit about the city of Jerusalem. It is mentioned in the Bible about 800 times. It was called the city of God. It was the religious hub of the then known world. To be able to understand why this city was such a big part in Palm Sunday story is because we notice the last week Jesus wept over this city because the city of God had become a place of suffering. It wasn't a place of comfort and those kinds of things. And Jesus is coming to straighten out that situation, to show that God wants to give comfort. One time in the book of Luke, it says this, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem," Jesus said, "the city that kills the prophets, the city that stones those who are sent to it. How often," Jesus said, "would I gather you children together as a hen would gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." As Palm Sunday, as we come to call it, it came closer, Jesus began trying even harder than he ever did before of sharing with his disciples that he was going to die, and that it was going to happen in the area of Jerusalem. And as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and I love what he did here. He said to them, "See, we're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," is what he called himself, "will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the scribes," that's the religious people of his day. "They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will raise again on the third day." He's trying to prepare them for his death. But more than that, he's trying to prepare them that he's not going to stay dead. This is going to be something brand new. He is going to rise again from the grave. Today, I'm trying to show the role that the city of Jerusalem played in the event, even though this is not in the order it happened. We see Jesus weeps because of the pain that there will be in the city in the future. He doesn't want to see that beautiful city destroyed. And when he drew nigh to the city, he wept over it, saying, "For all the days that he was going to come ahead was going to be such painful days for them." God weeps for us today, folks. As we go through this painful experience that we're going through, And he goes on to say that it's going to be destroyed because they didn't recognize God's time of visitation. Remember what he said? You would not. You wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't come to me. You wouldn't let me have my way in your life. But he says, I got to tell you, resurrection's coming. They're going to crucify me, and it's going to sound like they won. They got rid of Jesus. But he said, on the third day, I'm going to rise. We need to realize that we need to focus upon life. And we need to focus upon eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. The biggest thing that can happen to any one of us is we're going to die. But that's appointed unto man once to die. You've heard that before. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. I came across a picture of a little girl walking in a beautiful field of flowers. And it says, life isn't always flowers, but life is always precious. Precious. My life is precious. Your life is precious. We need to realize that God is saying to us, life is precious. And we need to consider that this morning. My voice is giving me trouble, but it has been for some time. And now, even right now, you can't get in to get these things checked too much. So we're just bearing with me, and I'll bear with the idea of having to hesitate just a little moment to catch my breath, so to speak, as I share the word. As Jesus came to the event of Palm Sunday, Jesus was ready to face whatever he needed to in the days that lie ahead. You know why he was ready to face that? Because he wanted to finish the work the Father sent him to do. Disciples kept trying to tell him, don't go there, don't go to Jerusalem, don't go. Jesus said, I need to work today and tomorrow. Even some of the religious leaders said, you better not come to Jerusalem again because Herod's out to kill you. And Jesus said, I need to work today and tomorrow. I need to work until my work has been accomplished. The reason I say that this is because Sunday that I really love to talk about 700 years before Jesus came into this world, this prophecy was given way back in the book of Zechariah. Now I want to share another prophecy, and this is the prophecy it is. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, look, watch. Your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Now listen to this, Jesus. And he is humble, and he is mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We're going to get into that just a little more, but I want you to see. You know, in those days when somebody important came riding in the city, it was generally on a big white stallion or in a big caravan of carriages or whatever they had. But Jesus comes riding on a donkey, very humbly. We should learn from this when at that time in our lives, as we're going to have, we're called upon to deal with things that we've never dealt with before. We must realize so much of life that we think we control, but it's really God is in control. God is in control. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village, and as you enter the village, immediately you will find a donkey tied, and there's a colt with the donkey. It's a mama donkey and her baby. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, you shall say to them, why are you untying the donkey? And he'll just say to them, the Lord needs them, and he'll send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken of the prophet, saying, daughter of Zion, behold, your king coming to you humbly and mounted on a donkey, and also a baby donkey. You know what? I'd like to pass this on to you that I think is so important as we go through what we're going through. You know, I have a big prayer list right now. A big prayer list, and I got to tell you, be honest, my family's at the top of that list. Between my grand and my great-grandchildren, there's 26 of us. So every morning I pray for them. But then I got a whole list of other folks, and then I call folks and talk with them. I'm homebound, and I'm trying to obey that. But I want to pass on to you just something that really helps. I believe we need to realize as we spend this time, more time probably alone, more time away from the busyness of life. I like a phrase that was given to the disciples. Untie the donkey. Loose the donkey. Send the donkey free and bring him to me because I have need of the donkey. I got to tell you, I don't know what has your life tied up. I don't know what you're hanging on to as an individual. I always like to tell people when I talk to them on the phone, stay safe and hang in there. When I say hang in there, it's the idea of hanging on to the promises of God. I have a beautiful picture that I found that has a big, beautiful rainbow. And remember what God said when he destroyed the world by flood. He said he'd never do that again. And to remind himself of that, he's going to put a rainbow in the sky. God keeps his promises. And we need to know that over in the book of Hebrews, let us hold fast to the hope we possess, because we can trust God to keep his promises. I want us to trust God that he can keep his promises, and he will. And so that's why we're going to come as we start out after this song. We're going to start filling our lips with praise to God. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord. Before we do, though, got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is doing just exactly that. It's giving some hosannas to God. The blessing as they ride into the city of Jerusalem. Wow, that's a ball. God bless you.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Our blessed Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him,
our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, ever in joyful
him, praise him. That's exactly what we need to do. That's exactly what God would have us to do as we think about all we're going through and all the difficulty. Now we come to a beautiful time in the life of the Lord Jesus. Remember, he told us that he was to go into the town and find a mama donkey and a baby donkey. And they were to tell whoever owned them, if they said anything to them, they were to untie them and bring them to Jesus. I love the fact of this. A beautiful way this can be said. I like the way Jesus got things that he needed to do. In order to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy, he sent two disciples with a task. He said to them, go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter the village, you will find a donkey tied up with a colt. Little did these two disciples know that their task was critical to Palm Sunday event. You know, what I like about that is I like it because way back in the beginning of time, when God created Adam, he said it is not good for a man to be alone. We need one another. He created woman. And then he talked about the danger of being alone. If one man walks alone, one person walks alone. If he falls down, he has no one to help him up. So probably the best way we can help up one another in these difficult times is the realization that we need to maybe get on our telephone and call. You can even send a letter, all those kinds of things. Maybe you can look back and see some of the things that you've had and talk about those kinds of things. There's a mama in a cult. There's a mama that just has got a purpose that she has for this idea of Palm Sunday. One of the lessons I want to learn from this story, in view of what we're facing today in my life and your life, the donkey's purpose was to carry a load. But this mother donkey, we are told, had not been used to carry a load. Nobody had ever ridden on that donkey. Now, when the prophecy was given 700 years before Jesus was born, it said there would be a donkey that no one had ever ridden on. How does Jesus know this? We need to trust Jesus. He knows more than we give him credit for. I believe this donkey was just waiting for this specific time to be used for what God wanted it to use for. Can I say this and be still understanding? I believe that donkey was born for that specific time. I believe you and I are born for a specific time in our lives. You know what? Esther one day, as she was going through her time in her life and it was difficulty in the whole nation, she said, but who knows? But maybe for this reason I was born to be here for this period of time. As they were untying that donkey, somebody did say to them, What are you doing? And they gave the answer of Jesus, the Lord has need of him. God needs these. Lord needs these. And the man said, you can take him. You know, when I think of the time we have on our hands that we can't go do the things, no baseball, no basketball tournaments are all behind us now. Never got to be a part of those things. And sometimes we can have a pity party and just feel sorry for ourselves, and that's all right. But maybe this is a better time for you and I to ask ourselves. Those two donkeys were tied up, and Jesus said, loose them. I got something I want them to do. Maybe it's a good time to ask yourself, what's got you tied up? What's got you in bondage? As a Christian, we need to be untied from whatever has tied us up. We need to be loose from whatever has weighed us down and said you can only go so far as God is concerned. So you know why I say we need to be loosed? We need to be untied so we'll be able to experience Jesus more in our lives. Now we need to be honest, folks. Sometimes this idea of Jesus and walking with God and doing for God, many of us is put on the back burner. But we need to know Jesus come to set us free from our selfishness, only wanting to do our desire. I love it in the book of John one day when Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know what? I found a picture of two birds and a cage door being opened and the birds set free. I believe maybe there may be some things in your life that's maybe controlled your life more than it should have. And maybe this period of time when we got more time to think these things over, because we're not as busy as we used to be, maybe in the quiet times of our lives, maybe we need to ask, what's been controlling my life? What's been in charge of my life? Has God and the things of God? Or has I been in charge myself? And all of a sudden we notice we're not near as much in charge as we was. Well, come on, let's get down this mountain. Let's get these praises to the Lord. He said he's going to give for the heaviness of our lives the garment of praise. They brought the donkeys to where Jesus was. And I love it. The disciples, probably those first two disciples that went and got the donkeys did it. They put their coats on the donkey. Probably some others, the disciples, put their outer garment on the donkey. Then they lifted Jesus up and put him on the donkey. But this time was coming near to the place where the road went down the mountain of Olives. Then the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God for the miracles they had seen. They shouted joyfully, blessed is the King who cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Have you praised God lately? These people all of a sudden spontaneously cried out. That's why I love preaching this Palm Sunday message all the time. We have already seen the time was predicted many years before, and it happened. I believe that God is God the Father. He's doing this. He started this spontaneous praise to Jesus. You know what? Why I like that so much is because God the Father, who sent his Son in to do a job, and that job was to die on a cross to give us the forgiveness of sin. And it was coming close to that time. And I believe God put that in the Old Testament. The timing's just right. It's Palm Sunday, a week before he's going to be crucified. And all of a sudden, there he is sitting on a donkey. Very humble man. Riding into the city that he knows is going to take his life. And all of a sudden, God has this music to his ears, to his son's ears. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the God in the highest. And they started riding down that hill. No, I believe God wanted his son Jesus to have this praise in his ears, because it wasn't only going to be a week later and they would be crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Jesus." Less than a week, Jesus on the donkey that no one has ever sat upon. Disciples with their coats and the donkey on top of the donkey. They help Jesus up. They spread their coats along the way. They make a path for Jesus, the people do. Children start getting palm branches and they lay it on the ground. And then all of a sudden, that spontaneous shout of praise to God. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. That shout was joyful. That shout was praise in the ears of Jesus for what he had done. Because they mentioned, they thanked him for all the miracles that he had done. Could it be that maybe what we should do with some of the time we have is to think back over our life? I did this the other day, just thinking back over different parts of my life and thinking about how much praise I had to give to God. I'm not going to go into that for you for my life, but I want to challenge you. Maybe we need to take a few moments. And we need to go through the fact of the praise we have for the life of the Lord Jesus. What he's done for us. What he's done for us. You know, here I am over here at the lighthouse. Whoever would have thought there would have been a lighthouse here at Long Lake? Whoever would have wanted to do that? And yet, you know, I like to tell the story that, and this is the one I'll give you for my praise. As I look back and think of the different places my wife and I had lived in, a home that we had in building. When we became pastor at Shiloh Community Church, we moved closer to the church. The house was getting small and the house wasn't very good. And one day I was out visiting. And on my way home, there was cars in the driveway in the house that we live in. Two cars. I thought, well, I ought to stop. And I ought to see these folks and welcome them to the community. Front door was locked, so I went around to the back and the garage door was open. I went in and there was a couple people there. And I said to them, "I'm Pastor Ken Harger. I'm Pastor Shiloh Church, just up the road a little way. Are you my new neighbors?" They said, "No, we're going to sell this piece of property. We tried selling it all as one piece of property. Now we're going to divide it." And I said, "You're going to sell the house?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I just live down the road. Would you be interested in taking my house in as a trade?" They said, "Well, let's go look." And we made a deal. And I bought just the house. But the gentleman that I bought it from wanted to have it on land contract, which I was okay with because I bought our first house on land contract. And then, you know, folks, to make a long story short, after we lived there for a while, one day he called me. And he said to me, do you want to have a neighbor right next door? Wouldn't you like to have that lot next to you?" And, you know, he said, "We got to buy it, but I would like to see you have it." And we bought it. He just added it to the contract. A few years later, he said, "There's only one lake lot left. Wouldn't you like to have lakefront?" And we added it to the contract. I'd been doing my radio broadcasts at Shiloh Church. First, I started with Greenville Station. I'd go there and do it live. Then I started making it at church. And I said, "You know what? I want to build a lighthouse. I want to build a lighthouse." You know when I found that out? We was in Florida, and we went to one of those flea markets that they had, and it was a lighthouse, which was a cookie jar. I picked up that lighthouse, and I bought it. I told my wife, this is what I want to do down to the lake. And you know what? I went to get a building permit, and I got the building permit and got lots of help to help me. And we built a lighthouse. Now I say my message is from the lighthouse. I have so much to praise God for. Dear people, I couldn't have orchestrated that myself. I have so much to praise God for. But what I want you to think about, and I trust you will do this, because it really helped me to realize God's been so good to me. God's been so good to me. We can go through this tough time together, he and I, because he's been so good to me. I want you to think sometime today, as an individual or as a family, how much you have that you need to praise God for. We need a Palm Sunday in our life today. We need to have a Palm Sunday today as they did in days old. Praise God for the miracles he's done in our life, for the things that he's done for each one of us. You know what, folks? That's pretty special. But I can't leave it there without closing with the idea how it all came about. You know, and the week was over. They went into the city, and the people praised them all the way down the hill. And that was a beautiful thing. After some of the Pharisees in the crowd, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples," they said, "for saying this." Jesus said, "I tell you a truth. If these people would be silent, even the rocks would cry out." Even the rocks would cry out. Creation does praise God. I believe the little birdies do. I believe the trees are beginning to bud as what God wanted them to do, to let us know that even though it's a different spring, springtime is coming. I even see my neighbor's got his dock already in. I still got to do that. You know what, dear people? We need to realize that we need to praise God for what he's done. And everybody doesn't want to do that, and everybody doesn't get excited about the idea of praising God, as the religious leaders of the days of Jesus didn't. And then they came into the city, and when they came into the city was in an uproar. "Who in the world is this?" they were saying. "Who in the world is this?" And the people were asking, "Who is this?" And the crowd would answer. Can you imagine this, what this meant to Jesus' ear? The crowd would answer, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Once before, somebody had said, "He can't be an important person. There's never been an important person come from Nazareth of Galilee." And he's humble, sitting on that donkey riding into the city. When Jesus got off on that donkey, he went in and he cleansed the temple. And then he began to teach people. There he was in the synagogue, doing what he had done and what he had came to do. But there's another group of people. And you know what? There was a time when they'd made a decision. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything that they could do, for all the people were hanging on every word that Jesus said. I gotta tell you, folks, there's a group that's ready to kill Jesus. And there's a scripture given to us that they plotted to kill him. They plotted to kill him. They plotted to bring his life to an end. And was all done by the name of religion. So I want to close with just a little thought that I've shared all the years that I was a pastor. I loved being the pastor of Shiloh Church. I enjoyed that ministry tremendously. But I got to tell you, dear people, I many, many times through the years, I'd say it's not about church. It's not about religion. It's about that soft, sandaled man of Galilee. His name is Jesus. And he says, I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. That's something very special. I want us to think of that as we think of what God is reminding us of, that he wanted to let us know that he loved us. I have had for some time my favorite words of Jesus. And some of you may have heard me use it at a funeral because it's so precious to me. My favorite words of Jesus is, greater love has no man than this, that one would be willing to die for another. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, him who knew no sin, became sin for you and I. And he went to the cross, and there he died, paid the payment for our sin, that God the Father will now receive us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. You know, we need to know that this blood of the Lord Jesus is what paid the price, as he was willing to sacrifice his life, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We need to keep that in our minds and hearts as we go through this time of difficulty. You know what it really was? This one Jesus who knew no sin became sin for you and I. And listen to this. God the Father had to turn his Son, his back on God the Son, when he became sin for us. It's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we want to know that today. God bless you. Happy Palm Sunday. Praise him for what he's done for you.
The blood of the Lamb stained the old rugged cross on a hill they call Calvary. One day I knelt at the foot of the cross, and some of it sprinkled on me. In the temple, they only examined the Lamb, not those for whom it was slain. And my sacrifice is, and he bore all my sin and my pain, and it's all in the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness, cleansing and power to heal, and it's all in the blood of Jesus. It still flows when at Calvary we kneel, and it's all of Jesus. Forgiveness,